Our last presentation today is Dr. Brenda Seals. She is of the Eastern Band Cherokee. She's the Executive Director and Research Associate for Native American Cancer Research. Her graduate study was in social epidemiology at Emory University School of Public Health. This year, Dr. Seals and the Native American Cancer Research staff were recognized by CDC for their excellent contributions to breast and cervical and comprehensive American Indian and Alaska Native programs in the United States.
Well, thank you and good afternoon. Time to wake up a little bit, get the blood circulating, you stretch the legs a little. Okay. I'm the presenter for this. I am the messenger. I don't work directly with these programs, so feel free to take your shots because I understand that's what I'm here for. I wanted to acknowledge Emmanuel Taylor and Kenneth Chu, Leslie Cooper, and the rest of their contractors and staff at the NCI who are responsible for these projects. Here are the four PIs that are the heads of the four Native American specific CNP projects. Deborah Buchwald at the Native People for Cancer Control, Janice Campbell at the University of Oklahoma Community Networks Program, Catherine Coe at Southwest American Indian Collaborative Network, and Judith Cower from the Spirit of Eagles, the National American Indian Alaskan Native CNP. The primary focus of these CNPs, just as they all are, and I'll go through this a little quickly, is to do both primary and secondary prevention. And in terms of primary prevention, the focus is primarily on tobacco control and healthy diets, nutrition, physical activity. The secondary are primarily screening, and if you look closely at this list, you've got the screenable cancers, of course, and skin cancer, which is fairly easily detectable as long as you can see where your skin is on your body or have somebody else. So, use different strategies to address cancer health disparities. Again, a focus on distributing cancer education material, conducting educational activities, conducting the needs assessments in the communities, and to implement prevention and education screening prevention interventions. When you look at the four CNPs, they've developed to date 62 cancer education materials. And the topics of those materials are around general cancer awareness and education. And I really need to give you a point about how needed this is in the community. You know, we and our own projects are out there doing work at the community level all of the time. And we still have a lot of stigma of cancer in our population. There are people that still believe you can get it like an infectious disease. Okay, so we're kind of 40 years behind the regular population. So when we start out at a very basic level with cancer education, it's really needed. Okay, if we're ever going to get to the point where we're going to talk about clinical trials and, you know, complex decision making around this kind of thing, they've got to know real basics of cancer, and we're not there yet. Tobacco cessation and education, again, it's a very complex issue. Tobacco is considered a sacred product in Native communities, so saying that you can't do tobacco in a place is kind of a no-no with certain tribes, so you have to tread very carefully along these lines, and that's why it's so important to do the community needs assessments and make sure the community's in your court before you really get those interventions up and running. And of course, the types of materials we're looking at are primarily paper products, brochures, and posters. As Peggy was saying earlier, we don't have a lot of phones, and there's not a lot of infrastructure on some of these reservations. So some of the high-tech kind of, you know, go to the web for whatever you want just isn't going to work in Indian country. So this is how the increase of education materials has been over the 3 years. And the really good news, as far as I can tell, is this: we've got 502 cancer education activities to date, you know, conducted by four CNPs and their partners, right? The topics are, again, the general cancer awareness, which is fundamental to all of our work that we do, talking about cancer screening. And again, if you're afraid of cancer as an infectious disease, why would you go in to be screened for it? Okay. and tobacco cessation education, and the community kind of activities that we do are primarily community events, your historic powwow, wellness event, other kind of things like that. Cancer education, activity distribution, again, from kind of your home, in-home demonstration or small group demonstration, you know, to larger audiences. And training and technical assistance for both the providers on the reservations and urban health, Indian health centers, as well as for the community themselves. And I'll just give you a note about Indian Health Service on the reservations. Most of the doctors that are recruited to work for Indian Health Service are doing those two-year, you know, rural program right out of medical school. And so I'm not necessarily surprised that, you know, number one on their list isn't getting the elders in for cancer screening. They're just trying to keep up with the broken arms and broken legs, you know, that's really urgent care on the reservation. So the number of cancer education activities is significantly increased over the 3 years, almost doubling at every point. We have 41 needs assessments that were conducted by the four CNPs, and they're no surprise to anybody. Information and education was the number one thing that came up across all the communities. Culturally specific information services are very important, and I think you need to remember that you've got 564 federally recognized tribes, each with a distinct language background and history. So, you know, tailoring your one brochure to 500 tribes at the same time isn't going to happen. You've got to start with the major language groups and, you know, work out from there. So it's really important to get that needs assessment information so that you can try to find general concepts to tailor your messages with so that you can hit a larger percentage of your audience at any particular kind of intervention or brochure outreach and method. And then system access assistance, again, in the reservation it may be 300 miles till the nearest, you know, tier two medical center, nonetheless a tier three medical center. So getting people just to be able to access the system is a really important part for our community. Now I know this is a really busy slide, so I'm just going to point out a couple of things across it. Of the needs assessments, most of them have focused on smoking, diet and nutrition, and kind of general needs of the community. They have done no of the groups around hepatitis B. These kind of things are missing in prostate cancer. It doesn't mean these activities aren't going on in the community for some degree. It means that they just didn't fall into the perusal of the program that we're talking about here. For prevention intervention examples, and these are just one piece examples. So providing a youth-oriented web design to address smoking and smoking cessation in the community. And as you probably know, children and adolescents and teens in general have much more access to internet than the rest of the community. They may have internet at school or in the community centers where they are able to gather. Their parents don't necessarily have that at home. In fact, when we tried to do a community assessment of ability to reach the phone on some reservations, we found that up to 10 families were sharing one phone line. Okay, so internet is not going to work for them, but if they can do it in the schools or something like that, that's where you get the WebZine. So the WebZine is certainly an appropriate activity for the teens. It may not be appropriate for the elders trying to get them in for colorectal screening. So we're looking at diet and nutrition, and there's a huge need for diet and nutrition. A lot of people on the reservation grew up getting free foods from different mechanisms, WIC and other organizations, and they were almost always carbohydrates, carbohydrates, and more carbohydrates. Okay, and you add that to a more sedentary lifestyle that we all share, and we've got a real problem with obesity, probably one of the largest risk factors for cancer in our community. So for secondary prevention, increasing colonoscopy and mammography screening for the Choctaw community. I know they've been able to document really great increases in getting there. And as a note to your outcomes on your secondary prevention, we've not been able necessarily to get the HIPAA approvals to be able to get back the real outcomes. We can say that we got them to the door and they went in for screening, but it's a little harder to get the screening results and to track them through the system. Even with your form, it doesn't mean that there's somebody on the other side who's going to be able to give you the information, you know, how hospitals work and screening centers. So again, along clinical trials, we have a lot of education classes on numeracy to increase the understanding of clinical trial information. And these classes are really basic. You know, they're trying to teach people about rates. You know, what is your benefit of just going in for any kind of cancer treatment, nonetheless a clinical trial? You've got to be able to start there. You know, because people, and I don't think this is unique to our population, they just know what happens to other people. They don't know how that adds up. They don't know what a better outcome would be from adhering to a particular trial versus another trial. So you have to really start with, what do the numbers mean? And why is this important to your health and your community for you to understand these numbers? And then getting you in a position where you can better understand what it means to be in a clinical trial. So this is the distribution of the interventions that we have to date. And unfortunately, they're all small numbers yet. But there are three smoking interventions, just in terms of some highlights, four breast screening, cancer screening interventions, and eight cancer survivorship support groups that are unique to this particular project. That doesn't mean that there's not other screening programs out there in the communities that they're working with. So we're going to talk a little bit about the four primary projects and just say a little something about each one. So with the Native People for Cancer Control, with their partner organizations, they've been able to do a lot of community-based participatory education activities and provide information in eight different states. And they used a lot of Native art to raise cancer awareness. And if you have a chance at all, go to their website and look at this Native art, because it is gorgeous. And at least our program uses it. We distribute it all over the nation. It's way beyond the eight states that they're talking about. And at least from my perspective, it's really helped us get over some of the cancer stigma. Because if you're willing to go up and be attracted by a poster, you know, you've got to get past that cancer barrier itself. So it may be hard to associate a particular outcome with a particular poster and a piece of art, but everybody loves this art across the whole United States, Alaska, and the Pacific Islands. And they distribute education materials on cancer awareness and prevention through, of course, mailings, health fairs, conferences, and cultural events like powwows. They found that in the communities, they've, of course, embraced these projects because they got ownership from them in the very beginning through the community-based participatory process. So it's their project. And they've really noted what a profound statement it's made about cancer and cancer prevention. And again, the artwork has been a fundamental part of that. Their efforts have increased cancer screenings, and they've been able to document that in particular communities. So next we have the University of Oklahoma Community Networks Program. And they've worked with the Cherokee Nation of Oklahoma. The Comprehensive Cancer Control Plan there focuses on prevention, as we've talked about before, and lung, breast, prostate, and colon cancer screening. The Cherokee Nation also had a cancer summit that increased awareness and helped people make action plans that helped them both document the steps they needed to address, and even a year later to find out exactly where they were in achieving those action plan steps. And again, the Cancer 101, for those unfamiliar with cancer, and believe me, it's a large percentage of this population. So attendees of the conference felt that the educational sessions were beneficial. It says some participants will spread their new knowledge in their own communities, and that's a really important part. You know, it's just like any other dissemination project. You get your first leaders, you know, your core group, and then they spread to their friends and family, and it disseminates out into the community, and it's this kind of credibility that will bring people to the door. So there a few studies of public awareness show that it actually did increase awareness and increase the different activities and news stories around those events. And then we have the Southwest American Indian Collaborative Network, And they had a two-day spiritual care conference for cancer patients, family members, tribal leaders, and healthcare providers. They also were looked at public response and said it was enthusiastic, and this led to develop more educational projects. Because just like any group, if we can go in tandem with other community important groups like religious groups or cultural groups, then our message goes much farther and is much stronger and much more credible in the community. They also created a lot of new materials and videos and personal stories, a part of the oral history. And again, a cancer patient talking to another cancer patient, be it face-to-face or by video, is a much stronger message than a healthcare professional up there, you know, trying to say something that seems alien to the community. And then we have the Mayo Clinic American Indian Alaska Native Initiative on Cancer. And some of their materials are on the very back table. They have a booth here, booth 1007 to be precise. So if you go down the thousand aisle, it's like the second on the right. I would say the other booths if they were here. Not trying to be, you know, one-sided here. But one of the projects that they have was to set up smokeless tobacco use in the community, because chewing tobacco can be a real problem in a lot of the communities that we work with. It's not just something that the baseball people do and those pinch hitters. We have a hard time making ground here because people don't feel like they're smoking. They don't feel like it's a risk for lung cancer, and they don't understand all the other cancers that are part of the risk or how it may increase their risk for other cancers. So we have a lot of work to do to get that community up and running. This project was supported by a community-based Native group and their board of directors, community leaders, and local health care providers. And again, because they felt like they owned the project, it went much farther in the community, and we were able to disseminate much more information to the community. So hopefully this will decrease the overall number of people using tobacco, especially among youth, and provide for a healthier lifestyle in the community. So we're kind of doing a theme on these junior researchers, and these data are across all four groups, okay? And I must put in a note, after talking to the organizations that are represented in this, this is somewhat underrepresented in terms of their overall numbers, because not all of their partners have been good about loading up all of their evaluation into the site. Sorry about that. But the hardest thing, as anybody knows, is the paperwork at the end of a project. So you've already seen the overall context of these slides. And our final point, our time is up, is that the Native American community, as I've tried to point out all along, is very challenging to work with, both because of its extreme diversity and its geographic ruralness and the lack of infrastructure in the community level. So getting a positive response to these efforts is really important. It indicates a readiness for information. And where 10 years ago when I worked for the CDC and I was doing focus groups on colorectal cancer in the Hopi Reservation and nobody would even talk to us, having gone back there in the last year, they want to know. They were asking us questions and pressing us for more information. So this, to me, is where the rubber meets the road on these particular projects. So despite these, we need a lot more work to do. The major focus of these is on screenable cancers. Our community is more affected by cancers that cannot be screened for, and our community needs answers to why we do that. You know, that's the kind of things that they ask us when we go out there. Well, I know you're interested in colorectal cancer, but what about gastric cancer? That's what's affected my family. So we need to be able to answer a lot of these and broaden some of our perspectives. And thank you very much for all your time.
It was just too difficult to cut these speakers off and hold them to the time, but we do have time for just a few questions, if anybody or comments. We're running really close here before we have to leave this room. Just.
Effort to detect these.
The question was, what can we do once we detect these particularly lethal cancers? Anyone want to address that? If you would, come up to the microphone, please.
Thank you very much for your commentary and your question and observation. Part of what we are trying to do within NCI, the Center to Reduce Cancer Health Disparities, through our CMP, the CMPs are to increase awareness and get people to go for screening so that hopefully we could develop this, detect these cancers at earlier stages rather than the late stages that you mentioned. And on the other side, we have a continuum of care. We have a sister program to the CNP that is called the Patient Navigation Research Program, so that when people go for screening and there's an abnormal finding, we have the Patient Navigation Program, which is to help with timely resolution of that abnormal finding. As you know, very small percentage of the abnormal findings are actually cancerous, but people need to know that, at least for their own peace of mind. And we have within the Patient Navigation Program partnership with cancer centers and treatment sites, so that they could get timely treatment as well, not just the biopsy and stuff, but also getting them into timely treatment, and also access navigation into clinical trial and accrual into clinical trial. We are also working within NCI with the Division for Cancer Epidemiology and Genetics to try to understand even the genomics of the BRCA1, BRCA2, and the differences between different groups and the histological types of the cancer that they do come up with.
Any other questions? Comments. Would you please join me then in thanking these for their hard work today? Thank you all for coming.
Thank you very much for doing
this. Thank you.
Yes. In fact, we have. Are you familiar with the website for Cancer Planet? If you go on Cancer Planet and you look on prevention activities, that's where the home health will be under the prevention activities. And also, if you want to specifically